carpet.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Welcome back to the Gosscast with myself, Alexandra Ryan, and Goss.ie editor Kendra Becker.
We're back.
We're back. It's like that Kardashians thing. We're back.
Did you miss us? Because we missed you.
That's actually a really iconic ad for the Disney Plus series, isn't
it?
Like it people still use it all the time as like actual trending sounds like on TikTok.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was at Electric Picnic over the weekend, as was Luke.
Are you wrecked? Well, you only went one day.
I only went for one day. Yeah. I feel like
one day was enough.
I feel bad because I didn't truly experience it really because it didn't rain at all when I was there.
Oh, did it not?
No. I drove literally just to go in for Zara Larsson, Somber and Lewis Capaldi, and when we arrived, me and my sister, literally the rain had just stopped maybe an hour before, but that did mean that every single act was delayed. So it was a bit tiring being there in that, like, we were like 2 hours late basically running behind. So we didn't leave until like 1:30. And remember when me and you went one time for one of the headline acts? What time did we leave at? We left at like 11 or something. Do you remember there was one year we went up, was it for Kylie?
Yes.
And we didn't actually, like, we were home at a reasonable time. Yeah. I didn't get home to my sister, who lives really close by, until 2 o'clock in the morning. So I was just a bit wrecked. But it was really, really good. Now, I did feel really bad for the organizers because of the delays. Like, not only were people late on stage, but the in-between was so delayed. So, like, in between Zara and Somber, it was nearly an hour.
And there was just nothing playing.
Nothing was
playing. That's weird.
There was like visuals on the screen, but no music. Now, I was in the three area, which is that little kind
of
viewing area. So there was a viewing area there and a DJ. So that was grand. And they obviously get you drinks there. So that was fine. But like, you could constantly see the crowds just dispersing and going away. And there was no like audio or sounds, which I feel like they should start doing. That was like telling people when people were going to be on. So people then started arriving for Somber at the time he was meant to start. But sure, he didn't start for like 45 minutes. So there was no like signs up anywhere. There was just like
They should, like, usually festivals do have
nothing,
that where they have like some information on the screen.
At one point a tiny black box came up on the screen and it was like, we are experiencing delays due to the weather, but no times. So again, when you're up in the three little area, it was fine. We were like having our drinks, we were like listening to the DJ, but I'd say people in the crowds were getting a little bit fed up. But we have to talk about our viral moment, because I think our video is the most viral video of all of the EP coverage this year, which is amazing. But the moment that Zara Larsson brought two little girls up on stage.
So cute.
There was such a build up to this because obviously Zara is known for doing this like viral Lush Life dance. And it's mad. Like, that song was released 11 years ago. 11 years ago. And now it's like such a new generation of people. And obviously you guys have been writing on the side about Casey Campion, like really wanting to get up there. And I had seen other videos on TikTok, and normally it is. People are in that age group, like it's 20s that kind of get up on stage. But anyway, when we were there, basically what happens is that it's kind of similar to the Sabrina Carpenter thing, where like her team kind of are like looking into the crowd, so her girls or whatever, and they were like that girl, and Zara was like, wait, which one, the girl there? And they were all pointing at these two girls, and the dancer was like, that girl in the pink shirt. So you see this security guard looking up at the dancer being like, this one or that one? So like, he's pointing to the two girls. And then the dancer goes,
she usually only brings up one person.
Yeah. And then
like, that's why she only has the one t-shirt. Like, it's one, it's meant to be.
And
one.
Like, people literally queued up early to see if they could get to do the Lush Life dance. So it wasn't the security guard's fault, but he was basically told, no, it's this girl, not that girl. And then he had to kind of almost push down this other little
girl.
So the first girl comes up, which is Fia. And then Zara, I actually stopped filming right after that point because I was like, this is so terrible. Like, but then I started filming again, and she was like, wait. And she was like, let the sister come up. So it was just like, all the comments on our videos are like, I'm crying watching this on the bus, or like, I'm crying again. It is really emotional to watch it because she really wants to get up there. And then when she does get up there, you realize it's her birthday.
Yeah.
And
so
like, Zara Larsson got 80,000 people to sing her happy birthday.
So cute.
I don't know if you've like looked at the clip a couple of times.
And
but
I love that she like fully, like the little girl gave it socks when she was doing the Lush Life dance.
But the moment everyone sings happy birthday to her, if you look at the video, she's like kind of like playing with her bracelet. And so if you can see, it's just so overwhelming, the moment. And then Zara was like, who else are you with? And they were like, our cousin. And then the cousin comes up on stage. So like all three of the family members are there. People were literally bawling around me. Like, it was just a really emotional moment. And it was the moment of EP.
She obviously does genuinely pick the people on the night. Like, it's not a prearranged thing.
No. And then obviously Emma on our team did an interview with their mom, and like, it's so funny, like, they fully skipped school on Friday to like queue up to get in.
Yeah.
They spent all week making signs for her. Like,
so cute.
That is something they will never, like, if Fia, it was 8, I think I want to say, and then Lucy May, whose birthday was her 11th birthday. Like, imagine being a super fan of someone like that.
Yeah.
Like, who were you super fan of when you were like 11 years old?
Britney Spears.
Like, yeah. Imagine you had not only met her, but she like hugged you, gave you a t-shirt. Love that they got her to spray paint a dolphin of all things. You know, I love my dolphins.
I love how the crowd was like doing that literally all weekend.
The dolphins. The dolphin thing in the audience. So funny. So yeah, she was amazing. She was really, really good.
I love her rise though, because she's actually been around for a really long time. But it's just in the last like 2 years, I think she's really
just got so viral.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the songs are from literally a decade ago. Like I brought my sister with me, she's like, I don't think I know many of her songs, but as she was playing the set, she was like, oh wait, I know that song, I know this song, but they're all really old. And I was like, yeah, they're like popular now.
I feel like there's been such a revival of like pop princesses in the past few years. And I think it's down to like the likes of Sabrina Carpenter and
Tate McRae.
Like people just love,
even Addison as well, she's kind of fitting into the pop.
It's just like the pop girlies.
But you know what I really liked about her set, right, because there were so many young people there for her, is that her songs are actually just nice and innocent.
Yeah, like, they're not like real raunchy.
Like going to Sabrina Carpenter this year was very uncomfortable, I'm not gonna lie, because there was a lot of young kids there and she's basically like talk pretending to give a blowjob in one of the, you know, dance moves, doing all these sex moves. Like all the songs are just about having sex all the time.
Which, same with Ariana Grande as well, a lot of her songs would be like
side to side.
Yeah, dear God. Yeah.
Whereas when I was growing up, I'm sorry, but there was not a single artist that sang like that. Like I also loved like Britney, Christina.
The
like,
only like raunchy song that like I remember when I was younger, I was like, oh, was Britney Spears' I'm a Slave for You. That was like, and I remember when that came out, everyone was like,
oh my God.
Like it was like,
but I remember Genie in the Bottle was very controversial because it was like, rub me the right way. And people were like, oh my God, that is so inappropriate. And now it's like, I'm riding you all day, baby. Can't
walk.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, woo, and it's played on the radio.
And it just makes me so uncomfortable. Like I don't really love seeing little young girls being like, I must twerk and pretend to give blowjobs for the rest of my life. Obviously, as an adult, those things are funny and like enjoyable or whatever. But it was just nice actually seeing a pop star who was actually about the kids and is like a really cool role model. Even her outfits and everything, like, you know, she obviously was in like shorts and a top and all that, but it was all just like fun, like her and her girls dancing. It was like a set kind of meant to look like Malibu, kind of. It was kind of similar to Sabrina's set, but I don't know, I just loved it. And then obviously I'm a massive, massive, massive Sombra fan. Like I have been obsessed.
See,
an Esther
Malahide Castle gig.
I saw. I will be there. At the back, getting on stage with him somehow. No, I love him. I've loved him for so long. And you could see that he was like, oh my fucking God. Because he literally put up a status the next day being like, that was the best gig of my life. Like, that's actually what he said. Because he's never like headlined like this. Now, he did do Reading the next day.
Yeah, he's done a few festivals this summer. And like him and Zara have been at a lot of them
together
at the same time.
But this was like a proper, like he was basically, I know Lewis Capaldi was the headline, but Sombra was right before him. So by the time Sombra came out, you couldn't have seen like an empty spot. Like it was packed.
Yeah.
And you could really see it in his performance that he was like, he was kind of like an excitable little child.
Yeah.
So my sister doesn't follow Sombra at all, so she was like, he's coming across a bit weird.
And is Sombra the band?
Just him, or as a person.
It's just him.
It's just him.
Yeah.
He is Sombra.
Loads of people were like, is Sombra the band? Or
yeah, no, it's just him. I honestly didn't even know that myself until I went there, because I haven't never looked into him. I just love his music so
much.
Is
he American?
Yeah, he's American. Yeah. He's from New York. But no, he was just so amazing live. Basically, if you've ever been in a situationship, he is the music for your life. It's all about like falling in love with someone, like the big album that kind of made him famous, that doesn't love you back, or like being with someone who's never really actually your partner.
Yeah.
That's the whole, like, so every lyric and every song, I just think so many people can relate to that. That's why he's gotten so, like, Back to Friends is the song that really kicked off his career. And it was funny, I was doing Oliver Callan yesterday, and when we were finishing up the show, he was like, I love Sombra as well. He was like, I have been playing him since he came out. So it's funny, like he's got such an international all age range sort of audience. So he was fab, and then he got cut off.
Yeah, I saw that.
I just happened to be filming that. So he was doing, he did 12 to 12. Now keep in mind, it was heavily delayed. So I do think he like,
like at what time was that at?
Like 11
o'clock.
So was
he before Lewis?
Lewis.
So
Lewis was meant to be on at like
11.
Oh, at half 11.
Oh my God.
Lewis was meant to be on, I think, at 10:45, and then like 11:10 or something. Sombra did 12 to 12, which is obviously an amazing song. I love that song too. And then he just was so overwhelmed, I think, that we were all singing the words back. Like, it really did look like he was like, oh my God. So he just kept playing it again. And then the sound all went and the whole crowd started singing 12 to 12 on their own.
Oh my God.
So then he was even more overwhelmed. So then he was like, keep going. And he was singing. And then they were like, right, turned off the fucking TVs. So they turned off the TVs. He also brought out Noel and Mike from the Cranberries, the brothers.
And
performed Zombie. That was, oh my God. It was just an iconic performance. And then it's like Lewis Capaldi came out. So I had the best night of my life. It was like the best three acts.
Definitely the best night, I think.
Of the whole weekend. Yeah. And not a spit of rain all evening.
Yeah.
Like nobody got lucky. Wet that night. So Lewis came out and he was amazing. And you know, he's very much known for being hilarious on stage. Mm. So obviously the songs are so emotional and depressing. But then like in between, he's very funny. So he didn't talk for the first three songs. And I was like, he better fucking talk now. Because like, I want to see Lewis like chat. And then he did start chatting. And I put up that clip of him being like, you know, I had my fucking breakdown in 2023. And everyone was like, woo!
Yeah, because he pulled out of EP that year. Yeah.
And like, obviously he had like a real flare up of his Tourette's. And you know, there's that really viral video of him trying to play a Glastonbury and everyone's singing the lyrics.
Did he seem like okay?
Yeah, and he talked about it later on. So like at that part, it was really funny. He was like, scream if you got your demons. And we were like, woo, yay for depression. But later on, he sang this song. He's saying his songs are so serious.
Yeah.
At one point, he was like, right, this next song is about like, when I die. And everyone started kind of laughing. He's like, I know. He's like, but not serious. He was like, I really, really did go through a really hard time there. Aww. But he was like, I do want you guys to know that like, I am genuinely loving being back. Like, I'm not just here to pay the bills. Like, I actually feel really good. Aww, I'm so happy I'm performing again. He was like, I was meant to do Electric Picnic so many times. And then he was like, last year I was actually in the audience just watching the gigs. He was like, I was here all weekend last year. And he was like, it really means so much to me that I was able to do it. So I was kind of like,
No,
he was a little sweetheart, but he was also very funny.
Yeah.
So he was great. And then every time the main act finished, I was waiting for fireworks and there was no fireworks. And then me and my sister were like, right, we'll leave now, because I didn't want to leave right at the end of his song because I wanted to get home. Mm-hmm. And then he did Somebody to Love. Was that the song? His biggest
Somebody
hit of all
time.
Someone you loved.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm clearly a huge fan. Anyway,
that was like his first breakout song.
As we were walking back to the car, we were walking by these kind of big plinth walls where you couldn't see over them. And of course, all the fireworks.
Oh, no.
So I heard them, but I did not see them. But no, it was really good that day. Luke went on Saturday. He's with us here today. Did you have a good time, Luke?
So good.
Favorite act from Saturday? Tiny Tempa.
Gorillaz.
Was it actually? Tiny Tempa, maybe?
I heard they were shy.
Tiny Tempa's in the truck.
Tiny Tempa for the throwbacks. Yeah, I actually did see the clips of him. And sorry, hilarious also that, was it who brought out the Mayo team?
The Saw Doctors.
The Saw Doctors. Yeah. That's hilarious as
so
well.
So funny.
But you know what? I actually would love to try and experience it properly somewhere where I go for 1 or 2 days. Because when I was leaving.
And camp?
No. Maybe glamp. They seem to get golf buggies for glamping. I get a golf buggy.
Glamping looks amazing, but even this year, like, their glamping tents were flooded.
Well, the only thing is the VIP ones, like the actual, like, really big ones, they were pitched days before the rain started, because I actually walked past them and they're all cream and white and none of them were flooded. But then the ones that were slightly smaller, like the blue tents, green tents, they were flooded. Mm. So I would say the TP area was done like 5 days before. Yeah. So they actually weren't flooded.
You definitely need to like research, like if you are going and paying for glamping, I would research which ones, because there's a lot of different glamping companies and some of them are actually kind of shite
for the actual glamping.
I did glamping at All Together Now, and there's a few different ones, and the one we went with wasn't great. Like, it was still good, like it was like handy to go and not have to pitch a tent and all that stuff, like that's so worth the money. But we know other people that glamped with another company and their tent was much nicer.
They had duvets
and, you know, so if you're going to spend the money, I would
research. I saw a lot of TikToks of people like talking about the areas and the names and like which ones you should try to book next year. It was so funny though, when we were leaving, I fully saw this like van parked up in the red carpet, because I presume some people are literally going back, they're not getting caravan passes. And they were fully riding in the van, because the van was like, did put back and forth.
No.
I was like, I can't.
Was it just a normal van?
Just a normal van. And I was like, I'm just trying to get out of here. Like, I don't want to know what's going on here. This is so inappropriate.
Perhaps a baby was conceived.
I'd say many an EP baby gets conceived. But I would love to go some year and just experience it. I don't know if I'd camp or not. I might just drive. But as in the daytime stuff, because like this year in particular, it actually looked like there was loads of really fun things on. Like, do you see there was an après ski area? And like, you could actually like,
looked really cool.
There was this big like bubble party as well, where there was bubble machines everywhere. Obviously you've got the fairground rides. Like, I've never really done any of those
things. I actually think you would much prefer Altogether Now because it's smaller. Electric Picnic, there it's is definitely big. More than 80,000 people.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, that's one of the big things about this year. There was so many complaints just that it was too busy. And even when we were walking around, like, even the campsites looked very, very, very busy.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I mean,
for instance, Altogether Now, it's a lot smaller, but they don't oversell it. Like, you can walk around and you're not, like, up against other people.
No,
you
it was know? Intense this
it's
year.
It's, like, the only time you're either, like, in an actual crowd is if you're, like, in front of the main stage or, like, in the dance.
I'd love to know how long it takes to build EP, though, because just looking at the actual setup year, I was like, how long did this take?
Yeah.
Like, even just, like, the areas where the bathrooms are, the areas where the tents are, the lighting, the electrics. I literally was like, Jesus, like, this is a huge operation.
And, like, all the individual brands have such big builds. Like, I don't know if you saw the Guinness area.
Yeah, that was
they
fab.
They built, like, a building.
Yeah, that was cool. That actually looked like, that was actually one of my favorite visual activations. It just looks like an actual bar in, like, New York or something.
Yeah, very
it was
cool.
Very well done. Yeah. And then the tree area was perfect. I mean, that is definitely the best place to go. And they had, like, chargers. You could rent portable chargers. The DJ being there is, like, super helpful as well. And it's very close to all the food, the tree area. The walk in, though, it fucking kills me. Luke actually texted me when he was there, being like, I don't know how you walked in here. Like, I can't imagine you doing this. It was very, 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 very mucky. I had wellies.
Oh, good.
And I was like, will I wear runners? And I was like, oh, no, maybe wear wellies. And then when I got there,
you wore, like, a kitten heel.
Wow. Well, sorry, influencer Nadia Bose wore, like, what would we call them? Ballerina pumps.
Ballet flats.
Ballet flats. That video is hilarious of her leaving early. That was so funny. But yeah, no, I think I told you before, I went on, like, my first and only ski trip I ever went on, I didn't bring any, like, boots with me. I wore, like, slip-on shoes. What? And I remember getting, it was a press
trip.
How did
you ski?
No, not skiing boots, like, actual boots to walk around in the snow. Like, as in, we were in a chalet. I had proper ski stuff there. Yeah. Like, they were giving it to us.
Oh, you did.
But, like, we had to walk
moon boots or anything.
No, nothing. And we had to walk from the chalet to the ski slope. Like, I was just so unaware of how it worked. Like,
wearing fucking
honestly, if social media was bigger back then, I probably would have had a hilarious video. So I was, like, shuttled to the chalet and they were like, oh, it's the biggest snowfall we've had here in, like, 5 years. I was like, oh, fuck my life, how am I gonna get around? And they actually had to lift me out of the taxi and bring me in because the snow was so deep. They were like, you will get frostbite on your foot if you step in. I literally choose like this. And they were like, we may get you some boots and we're going to have to, like, find some boots for you. So it was a cool holiday, though, but I mainly just stayed in the hot tub. That was kind of my holiday.
That's fair enough.
But yeah, from the outside looking in, did you think there's any cool moments of EP yourself?
Friday definitely seemed like the best day, but I don't know, I think my EP days are just done.
Do you think they're
like
done?
I just prefer the kind of smaller, like, Altogether Now is my kind of vibe.
Would you have gone just for the acts the way we did for Kylie?
Yeah, but it's such a
it's
trek.
Such an effort to go in. Yeah
like, it's just did you have any issues getting in with your tickets this year?
Oh my god, no, because this year we actually got media
what
passes.
Did you go
the
to?
Red car park,
okay,
the main one,
the main
and in fairness
one.
The media are so strict, like, you have to bring your ID and da 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 da. And I went up and there was, like, a queue and I was just like, right. And then someone at the window was like, Ali. And I was like, oh, hi. And they're like, come on up. And I was like, brilliant. So I got
like,
in very
in
quickly.
Right,
got in very quickly.
But
yeah.
No, I think the highlight was definitely the Zara Larsson stuff. And I'm really glad that she is, like, getting her flowers at
I
the moment
know.
Because she seems like a really genuinely nice person.
I know,
because
did you see there was, like, a news piece, I don't know, it was a few weeks ago, about how her record label wanted to put her forward for Best Newcomer at the Grammys. And she was like, no,
yeah.
I have been around for 12 years.
Yeah.
And she fully refused the nomination. So I'm kind of, she's a very, like, empowering kind of, like, boss bitch vibes I get from her.
And, like, I don't know if you saw, but she started posting these TikToks recently where she's
trying to sell out her gig.
Yeah, and she actually did sell it out in the end. But, like, her initial video, she was like, look, Bangkok is just not selling. Like, I need to get the ticket sales up. Like, I think it's kind of gas.
And she was like, I'm going to do this dance every day until it's sold out.
She's just kind of, like, honest and... Yeah,
she's like, I need those like dollar bills.
Yeah.
Also, CMAT, I think it was a real big year for her because it's her first time ever really being that central to the Electric Picnic lineup in that she performed right before Gorillaz on Saturday night and got the crowd shouting, loved that she was getting everyone to chant Free Palestine.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've seen artists actually talking about that.
Yeah.
And it is good to remember that is still going on over there. Yeah. So I thought that was really good. And I think it meant so much to her. You could really see it just in the coverage of her performing that, like, it was like her dream to like do EP.
We love our Dunboy and Diana.
Dunboy, it was so funny yesterday. Oliver Collin was like, let's be honest, she just had the shits probably in the night before when she was in France. And he was like, that's what that message was. I was like, oh my God. But I'd say whatever.
Oh, because she cancelled in Paris.
Because she cancelled in Paris, yeah. But I was like, if she did have any tummy problems, I'd say she was delighted it was there and not EP.
Yeah, true.
You know, I love it. But yeah, that they were my highlights. Also, already the tickets are up now for next year. Do you think they're going to sell out?
Oh, well, 100%. They're going on sale. So I think the pre-sale is actually today, on Tuesday. And then the actual general sale is on Friday. But they sold out in 2 hours last year.
But don't you find it so funny, though? This was the year that everyone was like, the lineup is so shit. And I would say it is the most packed I've ever seen Electric Picnic. So it's obviously a certain cohort that thought the lineup was shit. Mm. Or else people thought it was shit and went anyway. I don't know, but like, doesn't make sense.
I'd love to know, because EP in many years before was only 60,000.
Yeah.
And then they increased it in recent years to 80,000. Is that because they made the site bigger? Or, you know...
I don't know, but did you see as well, one of the gigs got cancelled because people were like being shoved and stuff
and
like that.
That's bad.
That scares me. You know me in crowds, I actually hate being in crowds.
Yeah.
So I didn't like hearing that. But look, I know they did a press conference on the Sunday with press down there, just saying that like they're doing their best and trying their best. So I don't know, maybe they need to expand it a little bit more because there is so much space there. I think the main area where the main stages are needs to be bigger because you'll have to walk so far in, like you're passing a lot of empty space.
I also think that they should consider changing the time, like the time of year. A lot of people were saying that they should move the date to like earlier in July or something, because the weather, especially the past few years, has been notoriously so bad. Really bad.
Yeah, you see, back in the day, that weekend used to be unreal weather. Mm. It was always back to school weather was the best, but the last couple of years it's been terrible.
So bad.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
And it does, like, the weather does really make a difference. Like, it changes the whole vibe. It does.
No,
like,
when you see the videos of people being splashed and raining and the misery, like, I would have found it hard to leave my tent if I was there in the tent.
And I saw loads of people saying as well, like, even if they had, like, really good glam, that their actual duvets and pillows were just damp.
No.
Like, ew, that's gross.
I'm never camping ever.
I'd say loads of people are going to be dying sick this week.
No, I can't. We're like, that's a lovely round
we'll
of
EP.
We'll
have the EP plague.
But like, you know what, then I'm also like, you know what, that's festival life. Like, I saw the clips of Reading Festival in the UK and the exact same thing happened over there. It was absolutely lashing. Like, there's something kind of funny about it too. Like, when I was getting my wellies on and bringing my rain jacket, I kind of thought it was funny. Like,
oh, like back in the days of Oxygen, it was literally
lashed on.
Because when did Oxygen happen? Like, what month was it?
That
because
was July,
the weather
I think,
was always
no.
horrific.
When
for
was
Oxygen?
Do you remember, Luke? When it was definitely during the summer.
Yeah, but I don't think it was late in the summer.
Maybe it was August as well, because EP took over from it. But yes, I actually have photos of me at Oxygen in, I want to say, 2012.
Like, Oxygen was carnage, like.
July?
Yeah.
I remember in 2012 going, and it was literally the wettest year. Like, I remember having a pint in one of the photos I'm in, and, like, you can see the pint is full of rain. Like, it's just, like, it's, like, such a diluted cider. But I have this massive red poncho on and it's like the size of my whole body and I'm still drenched in it. But I remember being so like lol. Like I was 22 maybe.
Young.
22. Not that young.
That is young.
I suppose. But yeah, my first time at Oxygen, I was 16 and all sorts of weather happened that year. And I was just like, when you're younger, like it's gas. And even somber, I saw people down in the mosh pit and I was like, that was me at Arctic Monkeys like when I was 16.
I'm surprised your parents let you go.
Well, I wasn't allowed to camp or anything though. So I went with the Curlies Circa.
Oh,
and
so Roisin, you went home after.
Went home and like their mom collected me. Oh, like I was home every day. Little did she know what went on down there. I don't think she listens to the podcast, but definitely had my tequila disaster that I had there. Oh, yeah. Vomiting everywhere. But you know,
Curlies think of that now.
They didn't know. And the mom didn't know. I was like, can I wash my jeans in the washing room? Remember, she was like, you can wash your jeans and you go back. And I was like, please wash them. Because there was just like such a vomit stain on them.
Oh,
and I remember getting the bus back to Limerick the next day just being like, I'm literally going to die. Yeah. So,
but at the time you're probably like, woo.
But you know what really scared me when I was at EP? Because me and my sister were at a height, like we could see the crowds. And you know the way if there's an incident, you're meant to put your flash on your phone, your light on your phone, you're meant to like do this thing. I saw like 5 instances when I was there and they were all in the middle of the crowd. So it was so hard for security to see them. So me and my sister were just like are they going over? Like, it happened a couple of times. Obviously, people have just been drinking all day. And this thing, like, when I was 16, I thought it was hilarious. But now, obviously, it terrifies me when I think people are, like, drinking too much. But there was a few times during Lewis of all of the gigs that people had to be, like, taken away. And, like medics were sent over and everything. God. Now, it was nice to see that people knew what to do. But, like, there was, like, one incident that took at least 10 minutes for someone to get there.
It'd be so hard to see because loads of people obviously have their phones out filming. And
yeah,
stuff.
It was really hard to see. But, yeah, there was a few instances like that. And I was like, God, you just forget that, like, the stuff that goes on at festivals. But when you're younger,
you just don't care.
Whereas now I'm like, oh, I didn't even have a drink this year. Like, I just had a drink for the photos. My sister's
drink. Would you let your child go to a festival as a teen?
Oh, no. As a teen.
What are your thoughts on bringing children to festivals?
Well, you see, when I saw the Zara Larsson moment, and like,
they
obviously.
They were older children, though.
They were slightly older, but there is an area called Cree there that was for kids. And me and my sister walked past, because she was like, I don't know if I'd ever bring her children. Like, but we walked past there, and like, it did literally look like looking into like Disneyland. Like, everyone was in there having the time of their lives. It was really cute.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you had a camper van.
Yeah.
And you parked in the camper van area, that is basically a family spot. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no like random lads drinking in the caravan area. Not really. Like, we walked past it, like, and it was very family orientated. And again, there's so much to do during the day, but I wouldn't have them at the gigs at nighttime. Like, for the crushing crowd stuff, first of all. So I don't
but
know.
But I suppose for the daytime stuff.
But you know, EP back in the day, like when Oxygen was the main gig, EP was like a family quiet daytime thing that had like one or two big acts. Like, it wasn't really like what it is now.
It was kind of like
now.
An indie festival.
But I do like the idea of it. Like, even I saw Mary Mullins in a video being like, oh, I'm bringing these for like, you know, one of those forest midnight parties or whatever. And I was like, that kind of sounds kind of fun. Like, do you know what I mean? If I actually was there, but it's the weather. It's like, no. But also, since we've been gone, because obviously we took a bit of a break, I wanted to chat through the Harry and Meghan stuff, because could you have called this that they are returning to the UK after Megxit?
They obviously kind of soft launched it with their visit recently.
Did they? But like, Meghan didn't even go to see. Oh, did, oh, she did. Sorry.
She did.
She just didn't go to the work.
But apparently, it wasn't brought up at all with Charles and Camilla.
Like, why do they think, let's just keep blindsiding them? That will get them back on our side. Like, I don't understand. And the thing that I find so funny about it is they're really paranoid that things are going to be leaked, so they don't want to tell them. They are the ones that wrote a tell-all book, did a tell-all Netflix series, and a tell-all with Oprah. Like, if anyone on either side of that family would be concerned about information being leaked, would you not be more concerned as the actual working royals?
Yeah,
so I think the reason they didn't tell them, they're saying like the people close to them or whatever, is that like they don't want things to be leaked, and they feel like the royal family are always leaking things to the press. But again, it's like, you are the ones that talk. That's why I really struggle with Harry and Meghan. I actually do struggle so much with them.
I'm really shocked that they went ahead and moved back without the security stuff sorted out. Now, I know
there's a
new review into it now. But like, the fact that their children are obviously starting school like now.
I think it should be today.
In a British school, like, I read a thing that apparently there's like active terror threats against them.
There always is.
There always is, you know.
But they are multimillionaires. They do have their own security. Mm. What they want in the UK is police
protection.
Yeah. So they still would have former CIA or whatever sort of levels of security. But if you saw, I don't know if you saw, like, they asked the Prime Minister about it and he was like, it's a private matter. He didn't say they're not getting security.
Oh, yeah, no, they are reviewing it now.
Yeah.
But... And to be fair, I do kind of see their point. Like, at the moment, all of the like former prime ministers in the UK have police protection. They're not even actively working anymore.
Yeah, he is. But Princess Beatrice, for example, doesn't have protection. There's a lot of the grandchildren that don't. Fifth in line, when you actually say it like that, actually makes it seem like he shouldn't have protection. Fifth is not that close. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'd be one thing if it was William's son that was getting denied.
I just think the level of interest in Harry, though, is obviously a lot greater than Beatrice and Eugenie. No one really cares about that. Like,
I'm sure they have threats all the time, though, especially with Andrew being their father.
That's true.
Do you know? Yes, so I think their whole point is probably that if it's one rule for you, it has to be the same for everyone else. So I do understand. Yes. And it is taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. It's not the royals being like, we don't want to give you that. It's actually taxpayers' money. And in fairness, Harry and Meghan all but spat in the face of the British public when they left. Like, they were slamming the monarchy. And like, true royalists in Britain are like obsessed with the royals and loved the Queen. And they did this while the Queen was still alive. Mm. So I think people feel they don't deserve.
Slighted, yeah,
it's like you don't even want to be a British citizen, basically. And he was literally only a few weeks ago had said, I'll never see a time where my wife and kids can live here.
Would Charles just not shut him up and be like, look, we'll pay for like whatever?
See, the problem with Charles
is the royal family have like billions, yeah, don't they? They have all these trusts.
Yeah, but it's all coming from taxpayers. All of the royal family money comes from the public. So that's the problem. See, if you look at kind of Charles and what he's done in the last couple of decades and the sort of king he's wanted to be, everything he's tried to do is to reduce expenditure,
yeah, yeah,
and to give the royals less money. He always pays these massive tax bills and sometimes he doesn't take these incentives he's supposed to take. If you actually look into what he does, he's the one that's like, and I don't know if you, in The Crown, you know, like, there's a whole episode about like the royal ship or whatever. And he's, yeah, like, why do we have a royal ship, yeah, still? He's very pragmatic about it. So I don't even think it's a personal thing for him. I think he's like, the same way he stripped Andrew of his titles, he's like, yeah, well, no, that's not right.
Yeah.
So I think with him, he's like, well, the Queen didn't give you protection. I'm taking over from her. It's what, 5 million a year taxpayer money to protect them. And I mean, I actually do think if they had done things differently, Charles maybe would have rethought it. But would you spend 5 million of the taxpayer money and have to deal with the wrath of them when they've again literally spat in your face, and not only told stories about the monarchy, but told personal stories about your wife?
Yeah.
Like Camilla, slamming her. Like, it's just, it's, for me, it's actually the book, I think, is the worst thing that they did. Definitely the series was a bit harsh as well, and the interview. But have you read Spare?
No.
Like, it's very, well, very,
you know, obviously we reported it on it, so I know most
there's
of the juicy
so many
stuff.
Things that just did not need to be in there.
Yeah.
There's so many intimate conversations with Charles and with William that honestly just seems like he got more money for including them in the chapters, because he got like 20 million for that book. It's like he knew it would get more cash if he mentioned certain conversations. There was no need for them.
Well, I think it's pretty clear over the past few years since they've been in America that they've been doing things for money.
Yeah.
Like, that he goes and like speaks at random things, and so does, yeah, Meghan. Meghan did that shite show for Netflix. Like,
yeah,
you know, they, but they need money to obviously fund their,
yes,
security.
But do
their
they
life.
Need to live in a multi-million dollar mansion in Montecito? So this is the question when we talk about security, and I get your point. It's like, if they live their lives differently, I mean, she's about 1,200 Cartier bracelets. Do you, yeah, know what I mean? Why should the taxpayer? I think this is the, I'm not saying I feel this way, but this is the argument. They are living these,
yeah,
lives,
no,
of luxury. She's not letting go of the Montecito house. Specifically, Meghan isn't, as in she's apparently the one that's going back and forth. Harry is, yeah, staying in the UK.
They
also have the
Portugal
house.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for me to feel sad and empathy for them when they are making loads of money, only profiting on the fact that they're slamming their own family.
I don't feel sad for them. It's more so I do kind of understand,
you get the argument,
their point that like they, you know, do need that level of protection.
Yeah.
I don't think maybe all the time. Maybe just
no, like,
like,
I think if he is doing like the Invictus Games and stuff
or,
like that,
yeah,
I think he should be protected there. But you're asking police to sit outside his house
all the time.
All the time.
So like, do,
when he chooses to come and go.
PMs get that all the time.
Yeah.
The likes of Liz Truss, who was there for 2 hot minutes.
I think it's the same in Ireland. Don't former Taoiseachs get some level? There's some things in.
That's wild.
But keep in mind, they actually had political roles. Like, yes, Harry was a working royal, but he never had an actual role. So I think this is the problem. But yeah, look, I don't know. I presume they're sorting it out. From what I can see, because I've been watching a lot of interviews with the royal reporters, some that are very clearly fans of Harry and Meghan and know them well, and then others that don't. But from what I can see, Meghan has a job. So that's why she's here. It's not the gentleman, because season 2 isn't even out yet. That's not even starting pre-production. But she is actually booked on a job. That's why they're here. They're here for 6 months for her.
Yeah.
But apparently she has to go back to LA for other things, and that Harry is basically just staying here, doing his stuff here. He wanted the kids to go to a British school.
Yeah, and wants to like reconnect with the British way of life.
And apparently his mates, really, really missing his mates. Like, there was a piece over the weekend just talking about the, because obviously he grew up here, like, so his male friends, like, there's a lot of also really, really wealthy friends of his that live in the Cotswolds,
yeah,
which is apparently where they're going to live, including the owner of Soho House, who's one of Harry's best friends and now one of Meghan's best friends, because,
yeah,
he introduced them as a couple. So, but yeah, that's what it's all about. She's got a job here. So again, if you are the British parliamentary, you're being told that Meghan's moving here because she's starring in a role. So like, they are, they have been informed to why they've moved here. We just don't know it fully yet, but it is for a job.
Surely it's something big. It wouldn't be a random something
big.
Netflix
it must
movie.
Be something big. Yeah,
it
I don't know.
It has to be something.
But I did see one of the Royal Parade saying it does have something to do with Netflix. It is a Netflix contracted thing, but it's like a huge project and she has to be here for 6 months. And then, so it's probably to see the Netflix movies do really well. Sure, they've loads of huge people on it.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Reynolds has done like 2 movies for Netflix, but it's something to do with that. I mean, I'm sure we'll get the information soon. In fairness to Harry and Meghan, they really kept it, like the fact that nobody even knew they were moving here.
I know. And
then that they flew into Birmingham
like,
airport,
yeah,
totally not seen, on a private jet. Like they've handled it very well.
But that's why I'm like, it all seems a bit hasty though.
It's obviously because it's a job that she just booked.
But like obviously people were calling into question, like is it because Charles isn't well?
Yeah, I saw that too.
And stuff.
And the thing is, the royal protocol with the royal journalist would probably be that they can't actually say he's unwell. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Like I saw
people find it interesting that they obviously like suddenly this decision has come about when they only recently visited in July.
Yeah, like did he see him and then worry about him?
Yeah.
But has Harry seen Kate since she's had cancer? No.
No.
Like it is interesting that all the reports have been like they have zero interest
yeah.
in like even.
I mean,
to
I
him.
Would feel the same. Like,
yeah.
Remember what Harry wrote about him and William having that huge
with the
like
necklace.
Physical fight
the
with the necklace,
broke.
And then something
we
about
fell
a dog,
on a dog
bowl.
But these are the details where
like,
you're like,
so
did you need to know? He's the future king of England. Like, do you
like
need
I'd say
to know?
William is just scarlet. Like, oh.
But you know what? People really love Kate. Like, they really do. And she has gone through really, a really hard time. And I think that's why people find it hard to side with Harry and Meghan, because when they did their Oprah interview, Philip was dying, like, in hospital and then did die.
Yeah.
And then
their
they came out with the book. It's been
so
very,
terrible.
Very poor. And I don't think they released a statement or anything when Kate came out with her diagnosis. Nor
I think no I
did
think
they
did
they?
Just being like we wish her like
did
speedy
they?
Recovery no they did
you sure there wasn't just Charles oh right okay
it was
okay.
through the rep at the time
how
intimate
they
would never be seen to be saying not anything about it
but also like it's funny because the reports were obviously like we're not going to see Lilibet and Archie's first day of school because obviously normally there would be a royal protocol that like
You do your first day,
all that sort of stuff.
So
and they were like, they want to keep it private. But I'm like, they are going to post it on Instagram. It is going to be on Meghan's Instagram. It will. Yeah. They're not going to say where the school is, but there will be a photo of them 100% being like some sort of loose thing. But what I'm interested in seeing this time as well is that one of the reasons they left was that, remember the Queen in the agreement with them in 2020 basically said they were not allowed to commercialize at all on their royal titles or on their royal roles. One of the reasons they left the country is that they were arguing that they were making money in the US, so technically they weren't making a commercial thing. I'd be interesting to see what they can and can't do here. So like, for example, on the As Ever website, you know, like there's candles and stuff named after Princess Lilibet and Prince Archie. Apparently
and
that's technically
use, still use the Duke and Duchess title.
Yeah, they're not allowed to say Sussex for commercial reasons. That's why the word Sussex Royal was taken down. So like there's just all these
and they
little
were
things
stripped of the
HRH titles. Yeah, so I don't know, it's just a part of me is like, after all of that,
you're back. It's
you were
weird.
Literally like, I will never be back. And then you're
like
hey.
Meghan literally said that like the British press and everything like terrorized her and like that she was forced out of the country.
It must be a massive
yeah,
massive
that's what I'm
job.
Like, what is it?
I don't know. It must be very lucrative anyway, whatever it is. Now the thing is, she has no role since she's left Suits, right? She's been a producer, she's been a narrator. All these things.
Must look into like what's filming in the UK. At the
I'd say the whole thing is under wraps because even journalists are saying they don't know what
it
is.
It would have to be something.
But I would
big.
Say she could probably command about 20 million to be in a film for the first time since.
Yeah.
So it could be that they need money because apparently as well, the move back here is being helped by some investor, this like multi-billionaire. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So like sometimes all the articles that I read, it sounds like they're broke. And I'm like, how do they need like all this money when they've multi and Diana's money as well? It's a bit mad. But yeah, just an interesting story, obviously. And I feel like they're just going to be around forever. Dan Wooten, who used to be in The Sun, who broke the Megxit story, I don't know, his videos always come up on my TikTok. Have you been watching any of them?
No.
He has his own kind of TikTok sort of show or whatever sort of show, and he's like, this is their separation, it's a trial separation, trust me, like this is the beginning of the end. I'm like, I don't think the case. But it is interesting to see them fully move back, because it did sound like that was their life set up. Doria as well, her mom is staying in LA.
Yeah.
So that makes me even think more so this is very much project based. That they're not actually moving here. But kind of difficult on the kids. They could have homeschooled them, like, or done, like, it's strange to put them into a public, well, sorry, it's not public, but like into
a
school.
It's a fairly well to do school.
I'd say Harry's hoping they get a bit of the British accents off them.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably like,
I'd
so
say
American.
They sound American, yeah.
But yeah, no, they're probably in like the top school that you could possibly think of. A boarding school of some sort, probably.
Yeah, because Harry and William went to, what's that really, Eton College. Eton.
Is that just for boys though? Yeah.
It's for boys, but it's like a tradition within the royal family that all the boys
That's
go
like
there.
Secondary school though, isn't
it's
it?
It's like a prep school.
A prep school, yeah.
So you do go there when you're young.
Oh, right, do you?
Yeah.
I wonder, is Archie going there? I'd say he don't.
No, there was a report that he won't be going there.
Well, remember in, was it in The Crown? Was Eton where Prince Charles was forced to go and he had like the worst time ever? That always made me so sad, those scenes. So sad. But no, it's interesting to say the least. Before we go, we might just touch on Traitors because The Traitors Ireland has come back.
You're finally watching it.
Finally watching it for the first time. Seems like I picked a bad season to start watching it though because everyone's saying it's kind of boring, kind of slow. But I am liking it.
It does definitely take some time to get to know the cast and stuff. I just think the first cast was so good, like for the first year. Like Pawdy and, but then again, like we're only two episodes in now. There could be those characters
a breakout
in there
star.
And we just don't
know. I saw the Irish Times did a review and they were basically saying that it was very kind of a low start, but they were also saying like, we just don't know if there's going to be a breakout Pawdy this year.
Yeah.
Was Pawdy a breakout from the beginning though? Did you like notice him episode one, episode two? Or does it take a while?
No, it does take a while. And I like the whole revelation of Dennis and Diego actually being married. And I really like them as well.
Yeah.
So I definitely do think that there's some potential good people in there. But I don't know. It does take a bit of time, I suppose.
I do find, and there's a lot of characters that we've basically had no screen time with too. Like there's some of them I can't remember the names. But I do find it so interesting that people are lying about their jobs. Like I actually find it so funny. I just think it's so unnecessary. So we'll go through some of the people that are on the show at the moment that are lying about their jobs. So first of all, we have
Pete,
who people are calling Perceptive Pete.
He's literally clocked all of the traitors already.
Already, like, he is actually in the Irish Defence Forces.
Mm-hmm. But isn't he also a police detective or...
Yeah, he's like a former police...
investigator, like, you know, he'd be good at those
But what
kind of
he's
things.
Told them that he's... What did he tell them that his job was? Actually, I remember now.
I can't remember, but he told them it's... But, like, this is the thing. They always seem to do this. They lie about their jobs when it's like, I don't think they should really bother.
It's just another lie. Fionnuala pretending she's not an actress. I don't think there's a need for that because she's shite.
And also, she's telling them she's a drama teacher. It's the same fucking
thing. It's the same thing. Yeah, but I think she's a shite actress. No offense, Fionnuala. In terms of from what... Unless it's the way the edit has been done... It's very obvious she's a traitor.
Yeah, she's doing too much.
She's doing too much.
You know?
Then we also...
I think that Porrick guy, though, is playing a good game.
Porrick K.
Yes, because in the turret, he's very, like, you know, he is traitory.
Yeah, and he's
but
leading the way, kind of.
When he's around
He's really
people,
sweet.
He's really, you know.
I actually do really like Carla as well. I know we're talking about in the office and you
like
think
Carla.
Maybe she could be found out, but I actually think people think she's just a little sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have DJ. This is the funniest lie, I think.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm not going to say I'm a car salesman. I'm going to say I'm a car parts manager. Who, like, this is the part now. Maybe it's
I think DJ's kind of gas.
He nearly got kicked off though last night. I'd say he won't be there much longer. I think people do think he is a traitor. But I also feel as well that, like, he now has told them that he lied about the job. But I this is the part I don't understand. Maybe you can explain to me, why would people with investigative skills lie about their job? Because if I was in there and I was trying to find out who the traitors were, if someone was like, I'm a psychologist, I would trust them to be like, they'll know who the traitors are.
I think their, like, point is that they
can manipulate people.
And that they are good at, like, knowing how to, like, get into people's minds and, you know.
Right. Okay. Cause it's just like, if all the lies are going to start getting a bit much, because I do think there's going to be more secret connections revealed. I don't think it is just the two of them that are married. Like, I'd say there could be more family members.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a mother and daughter in there, or maybe a, two sisters or...
Yeah, there's always kind of something like that in there, isn't it, that they don't share? And then, obviously, the traitors at the moment, then, we have Carla, Fionnuala and Porrick K. So I presume in tonight's this we're recording this on Tuesday, so I'm sure there's gonna be another trader by the time this episode goes out.
Yeah, because they lost Adele.
Poor
Adele. She was in the role for about 8 hours.
But the fact that she got kicked out for things that happened when she was a faithful.
Yeah, and for drinking water. They were like, oh, well, did you see her drink that glass of water?
It was so funny as well. When I was reading that Irish Times review, they were just talking about how, like, the first task, you know, when they was putting everything together, it was like yet again another complex, like, confusing game. Like, it did look really confusing, and the boulders were so light. It was so weird.
It's like, you know, when someone's explaining the rules of a card game, I'm literally like, huh? Like, let's just try it, and then
I think I'd actually be good at that. But you know what I found so funny was that girl, I'm like, well, I work in props. They were like, if she says it one more time, I felt really bad for her.
I actually saw Michael Fry was doing some really funny tweets last night about the traders. And he was like, I don't understand why people keep, like, lying about their job title, because, like, hardly being a, like, police detective helps you playing musical fucking chairs.
Yeah,
like,
that's so true. Yeah, that's so true. Oh, my God. So funny. I wonder how the guys, the married couple, though, got away with... I felt like they're
holding hands. Yeah, thing is so obvious.
So obvious. Yeah. People just aren't spotting it, though.
No,
but they are kind of staying away from each other in the house, so maybe people just aren't realizing it. Mm. But, like, I don't know if I could honestly lie to the extent they are. Because you remember, like, when your mom was like, "Are you single?" He was like, "Yeah." Like, I'd find it hard.
I know.
Like, if your husband's like right beside you, or your partner, they're not married.
I don't know how. Remember.
No, they are married. They're married.
I do think, though, that because the Traders Ireland, I think it's doing really well and stuff, but I do think for the next season they should do a celebrity version.
I fully agree, yeah,
just to keep up the momentum. And there's so many celebs that would definitely do it, like,
and yeah, people think they know celebrities too.
We, like, interview celebrities all the time and stuff, we always throw in that traders question, and everyone has said they would do it.
And the thing, I think that would actually be good, it'd be even more difficult to figure out who's lying, because you always think you know influencers, or you know celebrities. I'd love to see Lucy Kennedy on it.
Lucy Kennedy, Dahi.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna say Dahi.
Marty Morrissey, like, there's so many.
Catherine Thomas would be brilliant on it as well.
So
she'd be great for the all tasks. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but the drama that would kick off, because everyone would kind of know each other. Like, I actually think it would be really, really good.
Like, obviously Ireland's really small, all the celebs know each other. I'd love to see, like, the bit, because the bitching at the round table gets feisty.
Does
like,
it?
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see the UK version, because Joanne McNally is in it. And I also,
and like, obviously the Traders Ireland is really good, but like the UK is on the level. Next level. Like,
I'm probably really going to start going down a rabbit hole now of all
really
these.
Good. But I honestly recommend watching a past season.
Okay, I think that Joanne gets to the final of it, though, because I don't know if you saw the clip of the podcast the other day. Vogue was like, do you know who wins? And she's like, of course I know who wins. And I'm like, why were you there at the end?
Yeah,
because if she was kicked off early, someone would have had to have told her afterwards who won. I have a feeling she's
I
like there.
I just have a feeling she definitely gets far.
Yeah, me too.
I think so.
I need to go back and watch the Alan Carr one.
The Alan Carr one is really, really good. And also the American Traders is very good.
Maura, I want to watch that one.
The Moore one. Yeah, that's definitely,
I would love this year in Ireland for a trader to win it this year, because obviously we had the first
Faithfuls,
year the Faithfuls won. It was brilliant, like, very positive.
They will, though, especially if Pete becomes a trader, he could win.
I think poor Kay, though, the professor, could go far. And I also think, is there anyone else in there that I thought could be good?
Fanula's gone.
Oh, she'll be gone by the end of the time this episode's out, I'd say. No, poor Kay is good.
Carla could make it.
I get what you mean by Pete. He will earn people's trust over time. And then, and what about the guy as well? Was it Donal who, like, saved the day and said, why don't we all stand outside the circle? I think people long term could trust him, or else they might think that was a move.
Yeah. See, it's literally mind games, like.
I do feel really sorry for Adele, because when she was like, I'm a traitor, no one gets to know that she just had become a traitor.
Know.
So they all think they're
them.
Like, haha, we got it right.
she didn't even know who
the
other traitors were.
Conclave. Like, that's, I feel terrible. So bad for her. But no, I'm excited to kind of be into it this season and to properly watch it. I'm excited just to be getting into autumn. I'm really ready.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over summer. Mm. I'm ready. Like, I went for just outside with Angel for a couple of minutes this morning, and all the, like, brown leaves were on the ground. I actually had a little smirk. I was like, you know, I'm actually glad we're
like,
in autumn.
I actually love autumn and autumnal vibes. I prefer dressing for autumn.
Me too.
But
tights.
I don't like the rain.
You don't like the rain.
The rain.
If Ireland just wasn't rainy, I would love autumn all the time.
Yeah.
I love the fresh, like, crisp air. Although it is.
I don't love the darker evenings.
Well, I was going to say, the only thing is, I'm already starting to notice I can't really bring Angel out anymore. Like, I brought him out the other day at like 8:30, and I actually was a bit scared. I was like, fuck, I better go back in. Because there's like a green near where I live, and there's no lights on it. Yeah, there's no lights on it at all. And I went down the other day, I'm like, do, 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 do. And then I was like, oh my God, I better walk back. So yeah, like, no more nighttime walks for him. We're going to have to do like 6 o'clock, I'd say, if even. It's going to start getting really dark.
You'll
at
just
six.
Have to go out right after work. Really,
but I got like delivered, like, or shown, sorry, on my Instagram, this kind of little meme, and it's like your next couple of months, and it's like a Cavapoo dog and all these different outfits, and it was like autumnal, and it was like a really cute kind of like leafy kind of outfit, and then it was like October, and it was like literally looked like Angel inside a pumpkin.
I'm so excited to get a dog. I cannot wait.
You have to mind Angel again. He is the best. He's actually such a good boy now. Because Lavina, one of our friends, was saying to me that like when your dog turns one, they always develop a new characteristic. Mm. And he actually has become even more so attached to me since then. So if we're sitting on the couch, like sometimes I have a little like floor bed thing I have for him. It's like a cushion with this nice little mat. And he normally would kind of walk off and sleep there for a while. And now he literally will just put his little chin like on my leg and just look at me. And he'll just look at me until he falls asleep. He literally stares at me and then he's
so
like,
cute.
Yeah. So he's definitely like a little bit more attached, but he's living his best life. He's a great boy. Right. Well, we will be back next week. We will no doubt talk about more of the traders. And yeah, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.